It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It's so great being with you here at Bible Home Church today and this broadcast going across America. It's a delight to preach from the Word of God and to see what the Lord has for His people. You know, He told us that we wouldn't just be out here left all alone trying to figure out the world and its devices on our own, but Jesus said, "Lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." And I just thank God for that wonderful truth. And I know something too. He said He was going to come back again. You know, the disciples, when He ascended, they gazed up in amazement. And then the angel said, "Ye men of Jerusalem, why are you so amazed? Why are you gazing up at the sky? For just as He ascended, He will come again." He's coming again for us, my friends. And my friend Johnny Ray Watson has recorded a tremendous song. And the title is simple but profound. You're going to enjoy it. And after Johnny Ray Watson brings this message in music to you with the title of "The King is Coming," we're going to continue our series, "You Can Be a Soul Winner." And today we're going to talk about how to deal with people who have objections, objectors, and other special people. All that and more after this wonderful song, "The King is Coming," Johnny Ray Watson.
Oh, the marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the street. All the bills to the sight. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewife, cease your labor. In the courtroom, no more debate. Work on earth has now suspended. As the king comes to the gate. Happy faces line the hallways. Those lives have been redeemed. Broken homes He has mended. Those imprisoned He set free. Little children and the aged, hand in hand, set all aglow. Those are crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming, praise God, He's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble, and I can see the marching throne, and the flurry of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grand
as they sing, Amazing Grace, oh, the King is coming, oh, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see.
Praise God for that message. You know, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 and 18 give us some very wise words. It says, But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're instructed, we're told, we're directed, we're ordered, we're commanded by our Savior to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we're also told, we're commanded to share this knowledge, this grace, with others. And that's why I know you can be a soul winner. And you can do it by dealing with some very difficult people, with skeptics, with unbelievers, with people who seem to have objections, and I call them special people. Well, we're going to be talking about that today because people need Jesus. You see, you have something very valuable to give them. Now, if you had a diamond mine, and with an inexhaustible supply of diamonds, my friends, and you know it'll never dry up, you'll always have diamonds, many, many more than you could ever possibly use yourself, and you were good-hearted, you may choose to distribute these diamonds to those that need them the most. Maybe the poor, the suffering, the hungry, the desperate in this world. I suspect you would want to do that. You would want to get with it, wouldn't you? Rather than hoarding these diamonds and you have so many you could never use them all, you'd want to give them away. You would want to help other people because you have such a valuable commodity. A lot of people don't understand the value that is in Jesus Christ's name and in His grace. They treat it so lightly, it's like almost an embarrassment for them to share the gospel with other people. Well, of course, God had some choice words about that. He said, If you do not confess me before men on earth, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven. He won't even acknowledge you as saved and as one of His children if you don't confess Him to men here on earth. But you say, Tex, it's difficult. It's not like it was in the old days. People understood they were lost and they needed salvation. They understood back in the old days they were sinners and needed to repent of their sins. It was easier to evangelize. You know, I agree with you, it was. And yet in every generation there are people out there just waiting for someone to show concern, someone to show that they're loved, someone to say Jesus cares for you. Jesus has a plan for you, and I want to share it with you. I'm serious in telling you the hardest hearts sometimes melt when they come up with that irresistible heat that is the gospel of Jesus. And you can be a soul winner. Now, we're going to look at some of these objections. Have you ever heard this objection? I'd like to go to church there, but there are just too many hypocrites there. I've always heard, always enjoyed that one the most. Here's a person who's a sinner who refuses to go to church because he don't want to sit around with hypocrites. Well, what's he going to do when he gets down to hell? Is he saying there's not going to be any hypocrites down there? Now, friend, you'll find more hypocrites in the chambers of Congress and even of your own state legislature than you're going to find in the church. Believe me. As many hypocrites as you do find at First Baptist or First Pentecostal or First whatever church, I realize that, you're going to find a lot more of them populating hell below. And you're going to sit in exactly the pew the devil tells you to sit in or suffer the consequences down there. But you know, Jesus already has an answer for this. If you think they're hypocrites, you believe it, you're right. There are hypocrites in church. There are people who speak one thing and go out and do another. Even our own President of the United States carries a Bible with him on Sundays to church, and then he goes out and raises hell all week long. But hey, he's going to give an account before God for that behavior. Romans 14 verse 12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now, you who are saying you won't go to church because you don't want to sit among the hypocrites, there's too many hypocrites in church, you think that excuse is going to hack it in before the great white throne judgment? You think when God sits on the throne, you're going to say, "Lord, I would have given my life to you, but there were all those hypocrites out there." Well, God's already said what he's going to tell you. You may as well get an advance warning, friend. He says, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one. That includes you, bub. Here's from Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, "So then every one of us shall..." Excuse me, that was Romans. Back to Romans 2 now. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself." You know, I've often thought about the Jim Baker, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, and Jimmy Swaggart situation. I remember turning on Ted Koppel's, the nightly news program there, Nightline. And when Jim and Tammy Faye Baker were exposed for their misdeeds, there was Jimmy Swaggart very arrogantly saying, "Oh yeah, you know, this kind of immoral behavior is not acceptable." He was really coming down hard on Jim Baker. Well, I thought that was fine and dandy. You know, it wasn't long after that, then he got exposed for his own moral corruption. "Be sure your sins will find you out," the Bible says. Says here, "For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" I think Jimmy Swaggart's judgment was quick right here on earth. Quick. Don't worry about the hypocrites, friends. They'll always be there. Some will sit in church. Some will sit in the halls of Congress. Some will be wearing uniform in the military. Some will work for a computer company. Some will work for cafeterias. Some will work on the high. There will be hypocrites everywhere you go. What's that got to do with you, my friends? You have no excuse. But let me tell you what God says. You think you're hard on hypocrites, objector. Listen to what God says. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. He says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye." And I want to say two things about that. Do you realize Jesus didn't tell you not to judge? Oh, you hold it now. Read the whole verse. He says, first cast out the beam from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. The Bible, in fact, tells us to exercise righteous judgment. And Paul says, dare you not to judge? Do you not realize, said Paul to the church, that in heaven you'll be judging the angels? Men will judge angels in heaven. Isn't that an astonishing thing? Man is made a little bit lower than the angels, but redeemed man that goes to heaven will judge the angels. And Paul says, but yet you're not even judging those among you. There's one man living in sexual sin. The church refused to judge him. Paul said, I've judged him already and I'm not even there among you. But Jesus says, cast not your pearls before swine. That's Matthew 7. Cast not thou pearls before swine. If you don't judge, you can't judge whether they're swine or not. There are some people out there that are swine, that are hypocrites. And Jesus said, if you're going to judge, make sure you have already judged yourself and that you are fit to be a judge. Well, here's another person, a special person who objects, says, well, I know what you're saying is right, and I'm going to accept Jesus sometime in the future. You've heard that? I have. Yeah, I know you're right, but I want to live like I'm living today. I'm enjoying being a sinner, and I'll accept Jesus someday. I'll change. You know, not today, though. It's a very, very dangerous philosophy. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Did you know that God cannot always be found? There have been people, my friends, that begged and pleaded and cried for God to hear them, and he would not. You say, is that biblical? Oh, I can write a whole sermon on that one. You know, there comes a time when God says, don't even pray for him anymore. Well, you make sure he says that to you before you quit praying for somebody, because God doesn't say that often, and he has a reason when he does say it. You know, I've prayed for people before, and I'll pray, and every day I'll pray again. The next day I'll pray some more. And then suddenly I just have this feeling in my heart that I shouldn't pray anymore for that person. I don't know why that is. It could be that God has already closed the door on that chapter in that person's life. Maybe he's offered them a salvation again and again and again, and they refused him. And God says, okay, that's it. I'm closing the door. Book of Revelation says, God openeth the door and no man can close it, and he shutteth the door and no man can open it. Don't think you can set your agenda. Every night when one and I go to bed, she sets the clock over there, and sometimes I say, well, what time did you set it for? She said, oh, 6 o'clock or whatever. And I said, oh, that's too early. Make it 6:30. I'd like to sleep a little bit longer. She's now text, you know, we've got an important thing to do tomorrow, this or that, or people to see. You've got radio programs to tape. You've got to do this or that. Don't you think we ought to make it at 6? And I'll very sheepishly say, oh, yeah, you're right. She's a lot stronger than I am about that getting up early. I'm a late riser, but she does right, and she does it always sweetly and suggest it. I guess if I insisted, she'd let me sleep as long as I wanted to, but, you know, she's kind, and she just has her nice little womanly ways of suggesting and advising. I'd like to say, well, I'll wake up sometime in the future, not then. Tomorrow it's cold, and it's a winter's day, and I like to be under those blankets. And, well, Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If I get up at 9 a.m., it might be too late. Wanda says it is. I trust her. I trust God, too. Proverbs 29, verse 1 is a scary verse. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Whew. Now, a lot of people say you have a second chance. And, you know, when you die, you go into the other world, as they call it. The fourth dimension, some people call it. They got it all wrong. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says it is appointed for a man once to die, once to live. Afterward, the judgment. God reproves you. He scorns you. But you harden your neck. You could suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, it says in Proverbs chapter 29. Some people say, well, I want to party and have a good time. I mean, I'm still young, and I've got a lot of good years left. It's not only the young. I was talking to a woman, and She came to tell me all manner of bad things about her husband. She says, I've decided to divorce my husband. He's this, he's that, he's rotten, he's done that. You know, nothing the woman told me was that bad. I said, is that all you've got? I'm not saying your husband is a paragon of virtue, but these seem like pretty small things for you to want to divorce a husband of 35 years. Why don't you stand for your marriage? Why don't you and your husband pray that God will heal this marriage? She finally looked down at the floor and she said, well, I'll tell you the truth. I found another man. I said, sister, you're almost 60 years of age and you'd leave your husband for another man? She looked down real guilty and she says, well, when you're 60, you know you only have so many years left. And I want to spend my years enjoying my life. I haven't enjoyed it with my husband. What would you tell a woman like that? Maybe I should have read to her Matthew 24, verse 44. It says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Luke 12:19 actually was the verse I read this lady. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The Apostle Paul said, we take nothing into this world and we surely will take nothing out. Well, the Christian sister, after I talked with her and prayed with her, she had some trials and tribulations, but she went back to her husband and she asked him to forgive her. He was really a good man and he did forgive her. And as far as I know, they lived a very happy life since then. I hope that she took to heart these verses that I read to her. You see, my friends, we have to make a decision for God. We have to do it now in God's time, not ours. Elijah said something that was very important. You see it in 1 Kings 18, verse 21. It says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. A lot of people following after Baal today, aren't they? Sometimes they say, I believe in God, but that's for another day. Or I believe in God, but right now I want to take my ease and party. Some say, well, you know, I was raised to be a fundamentalist, but boy, that's a hard road. People laugh at you, mock you, make fun of you. I want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be stereotyped as one of those bigoted, narrow-minded fundamentalists. Well, then you're a Baal worshiper, friend. It's simple as that. And you've already made up your mind, if that's what your belief is. But you better listen to Elijah. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Please don't try to convince me that you truly do believe in God. No, you don't. You believe in Baal. He's the one you worship, not God. Some people say, I can put it off. I know that I'm a sinner, but I'll put it off. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Is a real instructive lesson. You know, a lot of people in this Word of Faith movement say, I'm going to decree something into effect. I'm going to confess it and it's going to happen. It will happen if I have positive thinking, if I make positive confessions. Some people even go take that into the spiritual realm. They say, I will follow God tomorrow. Tomorrow. Maybe that's why Bill Clinton had his favorite song, you know, was Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow. It was the title of the song. They sang it as inaugural party. Well, here's what James said. go to now. That means listen up. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. Isn't that astonishing? I'm going to do this or that tomorrow. Don't say that. James says it would be better to say, if it's God's will, I will do this or that tomorrow. John chapter 12, verse 35 says, walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. People that are in darkness don't even know they're in darkness. Did you know that, my friends? Jesus said they'll even kill you and think they do God's service. I get some very cruel letters here into the ministry, and these people are know-it-alls. They know it all. They know that I'm a horrible satanic man. I'm rigid, unchanging, unyielding. They say to me, how dare you be such a fundamentalist? How dare you to be so narrow-minded? How dare you to be so judgmental, Mr. Mars? I can read from their letter, these people are walking in darkness and don't even know it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. My good friends out there listening to me, did you know that now is the accepted time? Now is the day of salvation. It says in Hebrews 3, verse 15, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I pray that you won't harden your heart to God, but instead, softly and tenderly, you will hear Jesus calling on you. O sinner, come home. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Bible Home Church. Hope you'll write to us with your comments. Your love gifts, your offerings are much needed. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.